Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon text is the first lesson, something from the first part. A great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Something from the second part. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So from a card that we received after my mother passed away, back in June, a written message. Moms have a way of wanting to see their children again in the heavenly home. And now, what's going on at our house is we have the picture albums. Picture album after picture album after picture album, and we're going through and cataloging and occasionally saying, "Who is that? I don't remember that face, that name. I've never heard this. I don't know." And it makes you begin to realize, as Christians, how big it is, how huge this is, being a part of the kingdom of God. And that first verse, a multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, God gathering his people until on that day when we stand before Jesus Christ, on that day when he returns and calls us back to life, we will look out over and see what you could never count. This vast multitude. That's the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus is doing. He is gathering into his kingdom day by day, year after year, generation after generation. Moms have a way of wanting to see their children again in the heavenly home, and it's the generations all together gathered before God's throne. And again, how amazing that will be. That's the first part. They've come out of the great tribulation. Yeah. The great tribulation where every one of us comes out of it. The great tribulation that began when Adam and Eve listened to a different voice with different promises, conflicting promises, and they went and they ate the forbidden fruit, and then they lived in a fallen world, a sin-filled world, and they lived in sin-filled human natures. And the tribulation was not just simply that they looked around themselves and they saw all kinds of things happening that God had never planned. They looked inside themselves and they found all kinds of things happening that God had never planned. And we are, in one sense, our own tribulation. For those coming out of the great tribulation, and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It cost something, didn't it? And because of that cost, when we come around to All Saints Sunday, it's very emotional. but emotional for Christians in a different way than it is emotional for the rest of the world. It is emotional for us because in the middle of the sorrow, and those of us who have been through it this year know this very well, in the middle of the sorrow comes that distant triumph song. Promises given to us by a Savior. And at the tail end of funerals, standing out by the gravesite, the pastor gets to quote this verse. It's about Jesus, who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. Jesus is able, he is equal to, he does that amazing work of redeeming and saving us, body and soul. So we come out of the great tribulation. How? By the blood of the Lamb. By what Jesus has done for us. By his cross, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And so we have something different to say. That something different to say goes all the way back to the early church. Here is an oddity. Paul mentions it in passing. In the early church, they used to gather the newly to be confirmed, to be baptized and confirmed on Easter morning, gathered together not in the church but out at the cemetery. What? And they brought water. Why did they do that? So that at the cemetery you could be baptized. Because baptism is a dying and a rising. And at the cemetery you could be told, look around you. At the graves and the tombstones and the memorials of your fellow Christians, and realize this is your company. This is your family. You are here among them. Walk in faithfulness to Jesus so that you may be in their company for all eternity. And we don't do that anymore. And I, 35, almost 36 years of being a pastor, have never run across a family that volunteered to have their child brought out to the cemetery to be baptized there. We just don't do that. But there's a point to it. Again, we are set free, we are delivered, we have come out of this tribulation of being lost in sin. We are still on our way coming out of this tribulation that we experience in this world and in our flesh. And we are waiting to see the fulfillment and see God face to face, and then waiting to see the fulfillment of the rising of all those who are Jesus's. All those who belong to him, to celebrate and rejoice for all eternity. But again, there was a cost. How does this happen? It happens because Jesus enters our world. Let me put it this way this evening. Jesus entered the truth of our wandering lost away from God, of our hunger and our thirst, of our being under the curse. He entered all of that so that in our world he could speak his truth by speaking his word into our lives. Which is why, if you read them again and think very carefully about them again, the Beatitudes do not make a bit of sense if they are not connected, bound up tightly with Jesus himself. Because he is the only one in whom the Beatitudes make any sense at all. He shows the pattern in himself, poor in spirit. He goes to the cross with the sin of the whole world on himself. He mourns over our lost condition, praying for us. He is meek. Washing the feet of the disciples? And because of that, and because of the meekness of the cross, he has the right to be the king. Hungered and thirsted for a righteousness that he can give to us, he is merciful and he is pure in heart, and he has made peace between God and man in his own flesh. And what happens is that he takes his words, "Blessed are," and he gives that as a gift. When Jesus says, "Blessed are," he tears apart the separation from God that pushes us away into darkness and into the curse. And he pronounces blessed instead. And that can only be done by somebody who has the power of facing down that curse, bearing it in his own flesh, and then speaking the blessing instead. It doesn't work for somebody to just simply come along and in the middle of your sorrow say, "Well, be blessed, feel better about it." Which means the pastor is very limited in what he can do in the time of sorrow. He can't answer anything of that. All he can do is tell you about somebody who has borne the curse, who has suffered the pain of death, who has conquered, who has opened the kingdom of heaven. Which is humbling in one way. And it's fantastic in another. Because this Jesus is equal to all of it. And Jesus, again, saying it again, is gathering his kingdom out of every nation and tribe and people and language, out of every generation, out of every kind of trouble, out of every kind of sinner, and bringing us all into his kingdom to be clothed in his righteousness. And that's why the great multitude is there standing clothed in white robes, symbolic of the righteousness of Christ. Palm branches in their hands, singing and celebrating his praises. That's the celebration that we are waiting for. And that is why every time we come around to All Saints Sunday, as emotional as it is, and as many times as we look back and remember the names of those we have loved who have gone on before us, it's a time of secret rejoicing. because we have a message from Jesus. And this is a message that the whole rest of the world who does not know him has no understanding of. Here's the message. Blessed, seven times blessed. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst. The sun shall not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Blessing after blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.